chapter, John chapter 8. We look at this particular passage of Scripture we're coming to. Let me say, as long as a person has life and breath, it is not too late to repent. What we find in the Word of God in the passage of Scripture in John chapter 8, starting in verse 21, is probably the most solemn warning in Scripture that our Lord gives. What we find, it talks about eternal separation. There are three times this one phrase is mentioned from verses 21 through 24, and that phrase is very simply this: you shall die in your sins. Three times that's said by our Lord in this short period. And each time He says it, if you think about it, how many times have you said that to somebody? You shall die in your sins. It's a pretty bold statement our Lord makes. As you think about that, think about the scenario where Jesus is at. You remember He is in the temple, at the treasury, He's teaching, and He's 6 months away from the cross. Keep that in mind as we go over this passage of Scripture. What Jesus has been teaching, what He's been saying, what He's been doing is enough evidence to show that He is the Messiah. The Messiah has come. There have been miracles upon miracles upon miracles. He's traveled the land of Israel from the north. Well, He went from the south to the north, back to the south. And miracles were performed left and right. So much so that as we read in John chapter 20, that the Word of God does not even record all that. The volumes of books could not contain all the things that He did. And yet here we have some that do not believe. And I want you to notice what Jesus says. He says in verse 24, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." You do not believe that He is the Messiah. He's the sent one. He is God incarnate. You shall die in your sins. That message rings true today. For people who know not Jesus Christ and have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall die in their sins. Back in John chapter 5, we looked at part of this morning, but in verse 40, Jesus had told the Jews, He said to them, "You will not come to Me that you might have life." In that statement, there is the mixture of the sovereignty of God and the responsibility of man. People do not come to Christ that they might have life because of their willful disobedience, their unbelief. It's their responsibility to believe. God is sovereign, but man is responsible for the message. During the time in chapter 8, as we have been looking, Jesus is teaching at a time period of the Feast of the Tabernacle. He has made claims such as, "I can give you living water." Bold claims that Jesus makes. He says, "I am the light of the world." Not a light, He is the light of the world. Bold claims. And yet these Jews' response, we read in verse 13, "The Pharisees therefore said unto Him, You bear record of yourself, your record's not true." Verse 19, the Word of God says, "Where is your Father? You neither know Me nor My Father," is what Jesus said. "If you'd known Me, you should have known My Father also." They're mocking Him. They're taking His word and throwing it back at Him. "If your Father's your witness, where's your Father?" Jesus confronts the problem with these Jews, and that problem is unbelief. Therefore, we read in verse 21, "Then said Jesus again unto them." Now notice he's still teaching. In the beginning of the chapter in verse 1, after he's gone to the Mount of Olives early in the morning, he comes to the temple, confronted by the Pharisees with the adulterous woman. And then he turns right back to teaching, "I am the light of the world." And then in verse 21, again, he speaks unto them after he's confronted the Pharisees again. So as he goes on to teach again, he says this, "I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Then said the Jews, "Will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come." And he said unto them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? Who are you?" Jesus saith unto them, "Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him." They understood not that he spake of them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him." And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Here, I want you to notice, when Jesus said, "You shall die in your sins," we understand we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners by birth, by choice. And as Jesus makes this statement to them, he repeats it, and then he repeats it. He is emphasizing their sinfulness, the heart of the problem. But you know what you... Even in our day and time, people that we talk to, people that we meet, cannot see their sinfulness till they see the holiness of God. Because most people, what they do, they compare themselves with other people. "Well, you know, I'm not as bad as Connor." What standard am I holding myself to? Actually, Connor's much better than me. I'm proud of you. What the Word of God, the standard is, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven's perfect. And when you see yourself in the light of His holiness, you see how wretched a sinner you are. And you know what? After a person is saved, many times they will doubt their salvation. And the reason is because the closer you draw to Christ, the more you're in the light and the more it exposes the darkness of your own life. The law demands. The demands it makes upon our lives, we all fall short. Don't measure your life by the life of others. Measure it according to God's perfect standard. Here's the problem the Jews had. Even as we looked this morning in Romans chapter 10, they went seeking after their own righteousness. They went trying to build up their own righteousness, their own works. The problem is, as Jesus said back in John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life." He's making the same statement, except he's saying it in a little bit different way over in John chapter 8. But I want you to notice what Jesus said in John 3 and verse 36. He says, "If you do not believe, you shall not see life. But the wrath of God," notice as far as the King James Version, it says, "abideth on him. God's wrath or God's judgment is upon the sinner even as I speak. It's not one day his judgment's coming. His judgment is coming right now, and it's upon the sinner. It's already declared he's a sinner. That's what God says. We've sinned. We've offended a holy and righteous God. Therefore, God's judgment is upon the sinner. It's a present state. It's kind of like I remember many years ago. I could not tell you where I heard this, but I heard a preacher in reference to this verse talking about God's wrath. It's like a man being strapped down to a table. And you've probably seen some of them torture chambers and stuff, and that big old swing blade of an axe comes swinging down, and it gets lower and lower, and you know it's coming at its Adam's apple. You know what? That's what God's wrath is like. It's just getting closer and closer. Judgment's pronounced. It's only the finality of that when it comes. Very vivid picture that has stuck with me through the years. It is a present tense that God, His judgment is upon sinners. Even as we speak. As Jesus makes this initial statement, and He calls them sinners, and He says, you shall die in your sins, their response is, what's He going to do? Kill Himself? Is He going to commit suicide? Common belief amongst the Jews during that day and time is that they believed that if you committed suicide, there was a special place for you in hell. So they're mocking Jesus, making fun of Him. He says, where is he going? We can't come. He must be going to kill himself. In their mocking tone, Jesus comes back at them. And he very simply says, there's two different realms. You're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. There are two different realms. There is the heaven-inspired realm. There is the hell-inspired realm. There's two different realms people live in. Are you from above? Are you from below? Listen to what the Word of God says. Look over in John 17. As Jesus is praying, in verse 12. Jesus prayed these words to the Father. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name, those that you gave me. I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things speak I in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given thy word. And the world hates them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Jesus is speaking of his followers, and that would be true of you and I today. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil, or the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, a child of God is living in two realms, but he's not of two realms. Our citizenship is in heaven, is what the Word of God tells us. So we're not of this world. So what we find back in John chapter 8, and notice what the Word of God says after he explains these two realms and that they're not from the realm he's from, Jesus goes on to say, and he repeats, he says, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. You know what? What a bold statement. As Jesus says that, he says, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. You remember, and we went over this morning, don't need to go in depth with it again. These Jews were self-righteous people. For them to believe in Jesus, they had to give up all of their thoughts about their own goodness, all their self-righteousness and their keeping of the law, they would have to give all that up to trust in Jesus. But you remember what Paul says, going about to establish a righteousness of their own is what they were doing. They missed the righteousness of God. Here is Jesus in their midst. I want you to look closely at verse 24. Because I believe it's got something there that you can really gain from. When Jesus says, "You shall die in your sins," He says, "For if you believe not that I am." I want you to catch that. I left the word out because it's left out in the King James Version. It's italicized. You notice when those words are italicized, the translators put them in there to give the sentence better meaning. Literally, what Jesus said when He says, "You shall die in your sins if you believe not on me," if you believe not that I am. If you believe not, ego eimi. You remember where that word comes from? Jesus is referring back to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. I am that I am. I'm the self-existing one. Jesus is saying He is God. Now you talk about a slap in the face to these Jews. That just like He's rubbing them the wrong way. I want you to look in verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know what? That I am." Italicize He again. What He is saying, He is saying, once you have crucified Me and lifted Me up, you're going to know I am. I am the one true living God. Wow. Another bold statement from our Lord. Listen to what it says, and just use a few passages of Scripture back in Isaiah chapter 41, in Isaiah the 41st chapter, and down in verse 4, Isaiah 44 and verse 41 and verse 4. "Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first, and with the last." And notice here, "am" is italicized. And He very simply says, "I, He." Therefore, it makes sense to add the "am." I am He. God is the one who is the first and the last. Look in chapter 48 and verse 12. In chapter 48 and verse 12, in the Word of God, we read there, "Hearken unto Me, O Jacob and Israel, My called I, He. I, the first, I also the last." This is God speaking. God says, "I am the first and I am the last." Now let's go forward to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. In the first chapter of the book of Revelation, in down in verse 17, John says, "When I saw Him," that is, when I saw Christ, "I fell at His feet as dead, and He laid His right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last." You hear what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, "I am God." Now go back to your context in John chapter 8. And there we see that in verse 24. In verse 24, He says, "I am." In verse 28, He says, "I am." Skip ahead down to verse 56. He says, "Your Father rejoiced to see My day. He saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto Him, You are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, ego eimi." Jesus said, "I am." Now, here we're talking to the same group of people. Jesus has said, "I am. I am." and I am. And notice what they do. They take up stones to throw at him. Now, the only reason the Jews would take up stones to throw at Jesus at this point, because they consider that blasphemy. He is saying he is God. And you know what? For you not to die in your sins, you must believe that Jesus is God. God in the flesh. You must believe that he is sent from the Father. Look at verse 29. Verse 29 says, "And he that sent me is with me." Now he's speaking of the Father. The Father has sent the Son. We believe that God gave his only begotten Son. We must also believe that Jesus Christ is sinless. Look in verse 29 again. He says, "For I do always those things that please him." Jesus Christ did everything, and in everything he did, he pleased the Father. Not one person can say that in this room, nor in this world today that's walking on this earth. But Jesus Christ boldly said it, "I do always those things that please him." You know what? There was no sin in him. No deceit nor guile was found in his mouth. In verse 46, notice what he says. "Which of you convinced me of sin?" Who's going to convince that Jesus Christ is a sinner? He challenges them. Go ahead. Who's going to convince me? None speak. They can't. He says, "And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?" Jesus also, we must believe, he died on the cross. In verse 28, he says, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man." Believe that's in reference to his crucifixion. When you've lifted him up, he died for our sins. But not only that, there's a reference here for him going to heaven in verse 21. He says, "I go my way, and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." You know what he's saying? "I'm going to be with my Father, and you can't come there because you're going to die in your sins." Hear what we must believe. That we will not die in our sins. We must believe Jesus Christ is the great I Am. In verse 24, "If you believe not, you will die in your sins." Now, the opposite of that is true, and it's kind of an open-ended statement there. He says, "If you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins." But when we get to verse 30, it says, "Many believed on Him." Now, you know what? That's very simple, isn't it? The gospel is very simple. Either you believe Christ, or you don't believe Christ. If you believe Christ, you're going where He went. You're going to be with the Father forever. If you don't believe, you're going to die in your sins and you're going to be eternally separated from God. You must believe in I Am. This is why we preach Christ. This is why you hear the gospel so much from this podium. It's because Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him. He is the only way. He is the bread of life. He is our sustenance. He is the resurrection and life. And you know what? There's no rising again unless you know Him as the resurrection and the life. He is the light of the world, the light and the life. He guides us by His lamp. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We are called the light of the world. We reflect in the light of the glory of Christ because He dwells within us. What good news! Notice verse 25 once again. These Jews come back at Jesus and they very simply say in modern English, "Who are you? Who are you to be saying these things?" Now let me ask you, do you question me? Jesus? are you like verse 30, you believe in Jesus? There's only two ways. You either do not believe or you believe. There are many unbelievers out in this world. You know what? There's two ways to look at that. The end is coming. It's getting more and more wicked every day. Doomsday. Jesus is coming. Judgment's coming. Or we can look at it. The fields are white in the harvest. We've got a gospel, good news, for people who are dying and going to hell. Are you going to take the message? Lydia often sings a song, "Each one can reach one." I believe we can reach more than one. We keep reaching with the gospel. May we be challenged by the Word of God, knowing and trusting in the great I Am. He's the one who's sending us. And as He sends us, He gives us the power, the boldness to go. I'm exhorting you this week. Go in the strength of the Lord, sharing Christ. If people make fun of you, count it all joy. If people hear you, boy, rejoice all the more. Pray that God will give people in your life that will receive the Word and that you'll be a faithful witness. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your precious Word and timeless truths that never grow old. We are so thankful for the old rugged cross. We're thankful for the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He lived while here upon this earth. We are thankful for His sacrifice, who took our place, died for our sins. Lord, we're thankful that He ever lives to make intercession for us, for we are a needy people. Lord, we ask that you guide us by your Spirit. Help us to search our hearts this evening. And Lord, if there's unconfessed sin in our life, I pray that you reveal that to each heart, their sin, that they might confess, that they might have communion with you and fellowship and walk with you, for you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're thankful for your power and ability and love and mercy and willingness to do that for us, your children. Work mightily and effectually in our midst, for Christ's sake.